blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 117, the first two stanzas. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for Thee. I thirst for Thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come Thy gracious face to see? The first two stanzas of Psalter 117. scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, there of the 13th chapter, the first 21 verses. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke chapter 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus, answering, said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. And then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then said he, Unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew, and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Benen and Anita van Hagenbos, who received a well-born boy in this past week. Joshua and Emmeline Busicum, who received a girl this morning. And the twin children of Ben and Sheila Grisnick, who were able to come home from the hospital in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing God of heaven and of earth, that we may be together with a few in thy house in this afternoon, the doors may yet go open, and many may listen in their homes, and we may acknowledge thee yet for this opportunity, that we may be together around thy word of truth. And thou dost say that except we repent, that we also shall likewise perish, even as those upon whom the disasters do come in the midst of this world. Then what maketh us to differ? For there is in us no good thing, and that thou may show it unto us, and that thou may lead us into this truth, that we might learn to see and to know what we have become in our deep fall and what we are by our own sin, and that we may learn to abhor ourselves, and that we might learn to repent in dust and in ashes before thee, and that we may receive hearts that come in the way of true humility to thy blessed footstool. For of ourselves we will never bow before thee, for we are ever upholders of ourselves and of our goodness and of our righteousness and of our worthiness, so that we have no eyes to behold the reality of our state and condition in our deep fall in Adam, our covenant head. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou may come with the power of thy most holy Spirit, and that it might be even as that leaven, as we have read of in these moments, for it was but a few of thy disciples whom thou didst send forth into this world, and that has gone as leaven and grown as a mustard seed, as so that the birds of the air do lodge themselves in that tree, as so that the whole earth is filled with thy name and with thy work. That we and our dear children, who may be given also to come and to lodge in that tree, in an outward way, and may we also be given to be made truly of thy church. O grant us true conversion. Draw our hearts unto thyself, because today is a day of grace, but tomorrow we do not know. Or that we may take heed to the callings that have been around about us, and that thou mayest remember all those that mourn in the midst of the community, and all those that are afflicted and sick, and those that have difficulties and troubles in this life, and that thou may grant a place before thee, but give us all together to know the cause. For we were created in a way that there was no sickness and there was no death. There was no misery. And then there was nothing in us that did go out after sin. We were holy. We were upright. And we were made in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Oh, give us to see what we have lost. Give us to feel what we miss, and that we may desire to seek it again, as thou dost say that it is proclaimed unto us in thy holy word. O Lord, seek us out then with our dear children, and leave us not to go our own way. And remember thou all the needs and the cares in the midst of the congregation. In this day, the weather, wilt thou keep and protect everyone. In this day and in this week, from all accident and danger, from the disease that goes about us and that comes closer and closer unto us. Those that are sick within our own community also. Lord, wilt thou heal them and wilt thou keep it from spreading. And that thou may watch over and protect us all together. Lord, that thou may look upon all those that do reign over us. Thou knowest each and every one of them. Thou knowest what lives in their heart and the intentions, the laws that are laid on the legislative benches. O Lord, we ask of thee, when Satan, he is going about, to, in the darkness of this world, to deceive the hearts of men and to draw us further and further away from thy word into that pit of corruption. Oh, that thou may give our rulers to return once again to thy law and to thy testimonies. And wilt thou grant that we may be spared from thy judgments, which are due unto us and unto our children, that thou may grant us a little reprieve in the nations in which we do live, and that thou may bring us back once again, as it was in former days when there was an acknowledgement, even in an outward way, of thy existence and of thy word and of thy holy law. Remember all those that bring thy word, thy servant who may come over into this part of this land and hopes to be installed in our sister congregation in the weeks to come. O Lord, we ask of thee, when in this day he and his son, they are not able to bring thy word, and in the weeks to come, but Lord, wilt thou grant them then also a blessing out of thy heavenly store in this day, and thy servant also in our sister congregation, and all thy truly sent servants in this world, and that thou may increase their number, and that thou may bless the instruction and the preaching of thy holy word, and that thy kingdom may come, and that thy will may be done. Remember the children that have been born in the congregation, and the children that may come home from the hospital, they are all so very, very young, and they do not know and they do not realize what a world that they have been born into. Help the parents, strengthen the mothers, give wisdom and that they may bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and that thou may remember all the youth and the children. Oh, take their hearts in the days of their youth, and that they may learn to remember their Creator therein, and that they, before that the evil days draw nigh, remember then also those that have become old. Thou knowest each one of them, life that lies behind them for the greatest part, and that great eternity that does stretch itself before them, and the fears that can be many, and the knowledge of what is necessary that has been received in their life. But, Lord, they have now one foot already, as it were, in the grave. Oh, could it please Thee to visit them with Thy salvation? Oh, that Thou may hear their cry, the cry of the needy, and all those that do cry unto Thee, and Thou knowest the place of Thine own. For we do not know what that seed that brings forth. Thou sayest that there will be some that go not down as a root into the earth, but they do come up quickly, and there is something to see, and there is something to show in the midst of the congregation. But it will be when persecution and tribulation arises, then because it has no root, then it shall wither away. O Lord, that Thou may give in the midst of us that true work, then we may not see it and we may not know of it for some time. But then it is by Thy Spirit. It is made alive by the dew, and the sunshine gives it warmth. It goes down into the earth, and Thou knowest where that they are. Oh, then we do not know them, Lord, but Thou knowest of them. Could it please Thee also in this afternoon so to speak in the midst of us, that new ones may indeed be born, but that there may also be a little growth that goes downward, that does seek that depth, that foundation. Or, Lord, that Thou may remember all Thy dear children. We have heard out of Thy precious word of that tree, Thou dost say no fruit thereon. And Thou knowest the accusations that do cut into the heart of Thy own children, that they do accuse themselves, that there is no fruit, that I am but a cumbrance of the ground upon which I live. Oh, that the Lord, and then He does say, cut it down. Oh, Lord, that Thou may remember Thy people. Give to us wisdom, and that we may know how to dig about these trees, how to dung them, and that we also may be used as a little instrument in Thy holy fingers here in the midst of our own congregation, that Thou mayest give life, and that Thou mayest bring that life once again into fervor, that Thou mayest give Thy people yet a little blessing once again, that they may speak, that their mouths may echo open, and that Thou wouldst give in the midst of our congregation to hear the way that the Lord converteth all His people. Look upon us in these moments, in this hour. Give us strength, give us wisdom, give us discretion, give us clarity, give us love, affection for Thee and for our flock, and give us a little opening in this Thy holy word. Oh, give us of Thy Holy Spirit, and go Thou from pew to pew and from home to home. Do it, Lord. For Thy great name's sake, for Jesus' sake, amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 389, stanzas 3 and 4, recalling former days and all thy wondrous deeds, the memory of thy ways to hope and comfort leads. And what follows in 3 and 4 of Psalter 389, and we announce that the consistory hopes to meet this coming Wednesday evening. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Luke chapter 13, and thereof the 12th verse. Luke 13, verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. So far, the words of our text. Christ loosens a woman from her spirit of infirmity. First, her misery. Second, her deliverance. And third, her gratitude. Christ loosens a woman from her spirit of infirmity, her misery, her deliverance, and her gratitude. We read here, and behold, there was a woman. What does that word mean that says, behold? There, the Lord, he says, look. The Lord, he says, take notice. The Lord says, let not this thing go by us. What are the things that we take notice of in this world? What are the things that we behold in this world? What are the things that are so very special to us in this world? Then in the Word of God, there are so very many, many things which we ought to behold. And yet there are still certain special things that the Lord, in a peculiar way in His Word, that He is pointing out and He is saying to behold this, look at this, meditate on this, boys and girls, think about this. Will you do that? That is what the Lord says that we are to do here concerning whom? Concerning this woman. Why? Not only because of that woman, but because there are still today, there are women and also men and maybe boys and girls also the same as that woman. And then the Lord Jesus, He is also the same, and therefore He says, behold. And then it is especially for such who are as that woman that the Lord says, behold now what the Lord Jesus is for that woman. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. A spirit of infirmity. Where does that come from? It comes from here, the devil. It says that Satan had bound her. What does Satan do, young people? Satan, he says, I free you. I free you from the Word of God. I free you from the bondage that the Lord would bring you under His holy law. I free you from that. You can be your own boss. You can do as you like. You will receive freedom under My dominion. But we read just the opposite. Lo, Satan had bound this woman. That is a binding that the Lord, He is giving permission for Satan to do. Thus Satan, he has a certain amount of power within this world. Then he can go no further, be sure. Not one step further can Satan go than the Lord does permit him to go in this world with His own people. But we see for this woman that he receives power, and then he receives sometimes power over the soul. Here we read he receives power over the body of this woman. She is afflicted in her body. And we read that she is bowed over so that her face, that is as it were when she is walking, that her face that is bowed over and it is unto the earth. Satan is the enemy of God. Satan is the enemy of the church. He is the enemy of God's people. How did the Lord create us? He created us standing upright, not only upright in our heart, an upright soul, but also an upright body. That is, that He has made us different from all the creatures of the world. And now what does Satan want to do? Satan wants to bring us and make us just like the beasts of the earth, that we would go down on all fours. Then he would make us to be as unreasonable people. He would make us to be as a people that knew nothing. Thus we have lost that knowledge of God in our deep fall. Then he would make us to go over the world even as a beast. And now this woman, she has no power. She has no power. She could not lift up herself in no wise, the Bible says. How do you think she knew that? Well, how do you know that you cannot do something, boys and girls? Maybe you say to father or mother, I cannot do it. The father says, no, you try it. How do you know you cannot do it? Did you try it? Yeah. Well, I've tried it and I cannot do it. And I've tried it again and again and again and I cannot do it. Then your father will say, okay, you cannot do it. And now how is it with this woman? Oh, then she has tried. She has tried so many times to lift up herself. Do you think that she likes it, children? That she has all bowed down over to the earth. Then she would like to stand up just like everybody else. But every time she has tried it, then she has found out that she is not able to do it. She could in no wise lift up herself. 18 years in this condition. 1 year, another year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, shall we go on? 10, 14, 18 years. See, that is a long time. That is not just a feigned sickness. No, that is reality for that woman. And she has no desire for that. But now that ability, she experiences that for herself in her own life. That just is not there. Later on, the Lord, he calls this woman a daughter of Abraham. What is a daughter of Abraham? Well, we know that the Jewish people, they were, as a whole, the children of Abraham. Thus, she was one of Abraham's children. But there is also another sense in which a person may be a child of Abraham. And that is when he may belong to that covenant of the Lord, wherein the Lord, he takes for his own children out of those children of Abraham. What was that for that woman? Oh, it does not say it in the Bible. But we, in these circumstances, may believe that this woman, she is truly a child of Abraham. Are you also a child of Abraham? Are you belonging not only to that visible church, but do you belong also to that invisible church? Daughter of Abraham. And yet, for 18 years, she is bowed together with this spirit of infirmity. We would say, how can that be? How can that be that the Lord, he deals with his own people in such a way that he gives such a permission even to the devil over his own children? Maybe you say, young people, I would not even want such a life. 18 years. must I go in the next 18 years with some kind of an awful affliction for conversion? Maybe you say, no, then I don't want anything to do with such a life. Why does the Lord deal so often in such a way? That is because of love. It is because of His mercy that He is looking upon His own children, the sons and the daughters of Abraham. Because God is the Father of His children. But do you know what Paul says to the Hebrews? He says He is the Father of spirits. That means He is the Father of souls. He is the Father of the creation, yes. He has made the whole world and all the animals and every man. But in a special way, He is the Father of their souls. He is the Father of human beings. And in a very special way, He is the Father of the souls of His own children. And then He will be a Father unto the souls of His own children. What do you do, fathers? What do you do for your children? Well, then you say, I do the best for my children. Do you do everything your children want? Do you give them everything that they desire? You say, certainly not. But I do in my own mind what I believe is the very best for their welfare. And so the Lord, He also is doing for His own children. What is that welfare that He is looking for? Oh, He is not looking merely for the temporal welfare of His children. He is not looking just to bring them through this world without any kinds of afflictions, that they may have prosperity in this world and so take care of His children until the day that they die. No, the Lord, He is looking further. He is looking to that day of their death. And He is desiring the death of His own children. And in that time of preparation, and then He is preparing them for that day. His own spiritual offspring, that He may prepare them, that they may be with Him in glory. Thus, that often means chastisements in this life. What does Solomon say? He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Paul, he says, that whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and He correcteth every son whom He receiveth. And then every father, when he is looking at his children, one is 18 years old, one is 15 years old, one is 10, one is 5 maybe. And then every one of them, they have to receive an individual chastisement, discipline. What is good for the one that is not good for the other. And now that is the Father's decision, what He places on this one and what He places on that one, as He is looking for the welfare of their soul as they go through this world. What is it? What is it now that He has laid upon your shoulders? What is it that He has laid perhaps on the shoulders of your children? And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And yet, where was she? She was in the synagogue. She was in God's house. Perhaps we would say that is now a woman. She had a good excuse to stay home. She had the best excuse to stay home. You say, how did that woman even walk? All bowed together in such a way. And yet she is in the house of the Lord. Because that woman, she is not looking for an excuse, young people. Not looking for an excuse to stay home. No, she desires to be in the house of the Lord. Was it a burden to us? And that the house of the Lord was closed in this morning, that many have to stay home also in this afternoon hour. And yet the Lord, He is able also to overcome all of this. Why does that woman come there? Into that synagogue. Maybe you say she comes there in order that she may be healed. Is that right? Do you read that? You read that nowhere. You read it in many places in the Bible of people who have come to the Lord Jesus to be healed. You have people that have come to the Lord Jesus that they may be fed from the loaves, that they may eat, they may drink. But you do not read that here of this woman. You do not read at all that this woman asks the Lord Jesus that He may heal her, that He may cure her. Seems that woman has accepted that infirmity. Have we accepted our infirmity? That is very difficult. That is very difficult for me to accept my infirmity. Then we are always asking if the Lord, He may take that infirmity away from us. But we do not read that here of this woman. No, she is in the synagogue. She has perhaps asked many times in her life, in those 18 years, that the Lord would take that infirmity away. But now it seems that she does not expect that infirmity ever will go away. Well, why then come to the Lord's house? Oh, she does not come to the Lord's house to have that infirmity taken away. No, she comes to the Lord's house for a different reason. She has a desire to be in the Lord's house. Because there is living in her heart another infirmity. There is an infirmity that is within her soul. There is a spiritual infirmity. Because there are people, they are in this world that have natural infirmities. And there are people in this world that have infirmities of soul. And now we ask it of you. We can ask each one what is now our natural infirmity, and then we can go from the one to the other. But now we ask, what is the spiritual infirmity that is living in your heart, for which you do come up unto that house of the Lord? A spirit of infirmity, we read here. She is bowed together. She can in no wise lift up herself. And when she is looking, then what does she see? Oh, you say she sees the ground. That is right. She sees the earth. And she sees herself. That is the only thing she can see. As she is walking, then she sees her steps that are here in this world. She sees everything that is carnal. She sees everything that is worldly. Then there is a grief. It's a grief in the heart of such people when they can only behold themselves. And what does Isaiah say? He says, "Woe is me. I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips." Did you ever see it? Bowed over with such an infirmity. An infirmity because that you are not able to serve the Lord as you were created to serve Him. Does that bow you over so that all you can see is the ground? What did the apostle say of himself? He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Oh, then he had to see nothing but wretchedness and sin. When you are so bowed over, maybe you see, maybe you feel something of the hardness of your heart. Maybe you feel something like this woman, that you are not able, that in no wise are you able to deliver yourself, to lift up yourself, to change that hardness, the coldness, the deadness of the feeling. Oh, then you are asking the Lord, "Just give me one sigh, a true sigh. Oh, Lord, give me one cry, because in my heart it is so dead, it is so cold. And there is nothing that goes out after thee." 18 years. The spirit of infirmity. Have you also had such a heart? For 18 years? 20, 30, 40 years maybe? And what does the devil say? And the devil laughs. And the devil makes suggestions to you. You feel that heart? Or maybe he says, 20, 30 years ago, you thought that you experienced something different in your life. Then it was lively. Then there was affection. Then you were drawn by the word of the Lord. And now it is all gone. That beginning that was nothing. Because the proof of it is now in your heart for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. There is nothing but hardness, deadness, and coldness. 18 years. And as that time that slowly goes by, then she is pulled closer and closer to the earth. Then she says, "Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies?" A spirit of infirmity, no power to lift up herself. Sometimes under temptations, just like the devil said to the Lord Jesus, "See that world? See it? It's all in my hand. It's my power to give it to you. Worship me. Bow down to me. I will give it to you all, young people. I will give it to you all. And then you can enjoy yourself Do you know what the devil even can suggest in your heart? Maybe he has said that to you. Maybe he has said to you, there is no God. There really is no God. And that Bible that you have been brought up with since your youth, that is not true. You're going to find out that when you come to the end of your life, that dead is dead. Temptation to follow Demas. You ever feel that, young people? Congregation, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. When you look down and you look at yourself, do you feel something of that abhorrence? Behold, there was a woman. Do you see that woman? Do you know that woman? Sitting in that house of the Lord with no expectation ever to be delivered from this infirmity. And yet she comes there. She comes there. Why? Yes. Why do you come? Maybe you say, I do not know why I come. I do not know why I come anymore. But I come because I do not want to stay away. Because it is the house of the Lord. And even if I can never be changed, then I want to sit there in that house of the Lord. And if I could only have one moment in my life that I could worship Him, that my heart would go out to Him, that I could love Him. What do you think? Do you think the Lord knows? Do you think the Lord sees what is living in your heart? He knows it all. We see that in our second place, her deliverance. And when Jesus saw her, is that not a wonder? Jesus saw her. Would that now be a wonder to you, congregation? So do you say that in your heart? What a wonder that would be if today that the Lord saw me, if the Lord took notice of me while I was sitting in that house of the Lord. Because do you know what that people say? So often they say that the Lord, He hath forgotten me. And my God, He has forsaken me. The Lord, He does not see me. No, He sees this one, and He sees that one, and I am left behind. And the Lord saw her. She did not see Him. She could not see Him because she was all bowed down. That's all she saw was herself. That's all she saw was her own wretchedness, her own misery, and the earth and the world. But He saw her. He saw her. And when He saw her, He recognized her. He recognized her. She was a daughter of Abraham. What do you think, young people? Can that really be? That such people are the true children of God? So spiritually crippled, decrepit, miserable. Maybe you say that's all I hear from that people is complaining. They complain about their lack of love. They complain about their lack of faith. They complain about their lack of uprightness. That it seems to be all that I can hear from that person. Can that now be really the true church of God? Listen, what do we read? And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. He called her to him. He says, come here, crippled woman. Woman that is all bowed down over to the earth. Come here, woman. Come here unto me. You who have no power to deliver yourself from this spirit of infirmity, which is your daily burden. Come here, crippled woman, that have been so long in this condition that you have despaired long ago of ever being delivered from your wretchedness and from your misery. He calls her to come near, to draw near to himself. He says, you don't expect any change to come anymore. You do not know anymore why that you have come into the synagogue, into that house of the Lord. Oh, you only want one moment. You only want one moment that you may worship me. Come here, crippled woman. And I will teach you to worship me as you have never worshipped me in your whole life. That is a special calling. The preaching of the Lord Jesus that came to everyone that was sitting in that synagogue. But now that woman, she receives another calling, a special calling, a calling that does not go out to everyone that is in that synagogue. That is a calling whereby he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is a calling to this woman in her bowed down condition. It is a calling to a woman who is not able to lift up herself, who cannot deliver herself from that condition. Did you ever hear such a calling in your own life? He called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He speaks one word unto this woman. The almighty power, the power of God that has created this whole world with one word, that power of Christ that is able to deliver this woman from all her infirmity, spoken unto her in a personal way. It is directed to her in a personal way. The rest, they heard it also, but it was not for them. Why was it not for them? Because they were not fit for that word. That word meant nothing to them. Why? Because they did not know her infirmity. And he calls her in her condition as a crippled woman. Do we understand it? Let us sing. Psalter 415, stanza 4. Good and upright is Jehovah in his dealings evermore. Sinners are by him instructed in the way untrod before. He will ever guide the meek in his judgments true and holy. Teach his ways to those who seek with a contrite heart and lowly. Stanza 4 of Psalter 415. He called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. Immediately. That is the power of Christ experienced in the life of this woman. What do we know of the power of Christ experienced in our own life? Immediately, she was made straight. Not gradually, no, but suddenly. No, it is not true that God's people, they learn everything in one day. But it is true that God's people, they learn things suddenly. That is, that the Lord, he is instructing his people by steps, by points in their life. That he is opening, that he is revealing something out of his holy word. That they may see that he is unveiling what is a revelation. That is to take away the veil, that which was hidden before, suddenly that is going open, that they may see. And so the Lord, in the revelation, so the Lord, in the application of His Word, He is giving a sudden healing, and immediately she was made straight. Do we know something of what that immediacy is? By the revelation of the work of the Lord, of the person of the Lord to our heart. What happens in such a day? What happened to her? What happened to that woman? Then suddenly she was made straight. Well, you say, she saw the ground and she saw herself. And suddenly she sees someone else. Suddenly she looks up. When the Lord spoke to her, then she may also lay her eyes upon Him, that she may see Him. Oh, do you know what that is? Because the Lord, He is such a hidden person. That second person of that Holy Trinity. That is when that people cannot see anything except themselves. Then they cannot lay their eyes upon Him. And then the whole world, they can say to the people, you must believe in Christ. Oh, and then they say, I cannot see Him. No, they can only see what is of the earth and what sin is. But when the Lord is coming, and their eye may be given to look upon the Lord and His work, then they see Him. Then the Lord, He is taking the veil away. He's taking away the shadows. And what do they not see? Well, then they do not see the ground anymore. They do not see themselves anymore. No, then they only see Him. Then they may look a completely different way than they had been looking before. Oh, do you know what that is in your life? That is not just to learn it out of a catechism book, but that is to experience it in your heart. That is a wonder to your soul. David, he says, my sin is covered. What does that mean, children? My sin is covered. When he had been looking only upon that, and all he could see was his sin. And when the Lord, He gives a sight of Himself, oh, then He goes open, and the sin that goes closed, that may be just for one moment. That may just be for 1 hour, if that people, or they could only hold on to it in their life. But yet they may look back upon it and say that that moment they are not a stranger of. Why? Because they do what this woman did. What do we read that she did? When she was made straight, we read that she glorified God. And this is what is experienced in the heart of that people. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. For what? For her deliverance? That is a glory that is not possible except that the Lord gives that unto us. That is a glory that was not possible even in the state of rectitude. Say, in the state of rectitude. In the state before the fall, did not man glorify God before the fall? All the decrees of God, they are aimed for one purpose, that is for His own glory. Our creation, that was for His glory. That is His final purpose. But what now? What glory can be compared to the glory of a deliverer? One who has delivered you from that which you could not deliver yourself from? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the whole creation that is declaring the glory of God. That is true. But there is no song that the creation can sing, that the birds can sing, that man with his mouth can sing, like the song of the redeemed, like the song of those who have been delivered and glorified God. It is just three words. It is said so simple. But who is able to express, if we would ask those persons who are not complete strangers, even if it was for one moment, and then to see it so far away, and yet they are not strangers of this glorification of God, because the estimation of the Lord that is rising in their heart a thousandfold, then they are sinking away under the goodness of the Lord, the grace of the Lord to a poor and to a wretched sinner. That was not in the heart of that ruler of the synagogue. No, we can read here also of him. He was a very religious man, but he was a hypocrite. How do we know he was a hypocrite? We can't see into his heart. No, the Lord called him a hypocrite. And he could see into his heart. That man was filled with indignation. Why? Because the Lord Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. No, he was a wicked man. And he pretended to be concerned about the law of God. He was not concerned about the Sabbath day. He was jealous. The people all listened to the Lord Jesus, and he was angry. He wanted the people to listen to him and to the other Pharisees. He had no true concern about the Sabbath day, and yet it sounded like he was a pious man, a godly man. Sounded like a man who had a tender conscience. He wanted to protect the law of the Lord and the Sabbath day, and it was not so, thou hypocrite. What an awful condemnation. That is by the Lord Jesus himself. And he looks into the innermost recesses of the heart of that man. And he sees hypocrisy. Is that what he sees in our heart? Hypocrisy. He had no concern for this poor woman. His religion that consisted merely of an outward keeping of all kinds of rules, also of men. And what did he never experience in his life? The poverty of this woman. That spirit of infirmity. He is completely oblivious. He cannot enter into the case of that woman. And what does that man become? He becomes a rebuker of this poor woman. She has just received a blessing from the Lord. And now that man comes, it is congregation from hell. She was a favored woman of the Lord. And now the devil comes again. Never leaves that people alone. Neither before, but also after. He says, woman, you have transgressed the Sabbath day. Do not come here on the Sabbath day to be healed. There are 6 days in which men ought to work. And he uses the holy law of God to rebuke that poor woman. And he wants to send her away as a guilty woman. The devil is so cruel. He will take away this blessing from that poor woman. And she, what does she say? Nothing. Nothing. The devil is the same today. God's children are the same today. That woman, that people, they have nothing to say. Because God's people, they are like sheep. They are so defenseless. They have nothing to say. And maybe in her heart she thought, what have I now done? Because it is true what that man said. 6 days, it says in the Bible. 6 days we are to labor. And so she has no power. Or are there not of that church that are not strangers to these temptations of the devil? That the devil, he would steal away what the Lord has given unto them in their heart. But Christ will not have it. No, she cannot defend herself. But he will come to her defense. And he condemns that man. Thou hypocrite. That is that good shepherd. That good shepherd of his sheep. To come and to confirm the blessing that he has given unto his own child. And glorified God. O congregation, how will the Lord get the honor? He gets the honor by curing incurable cases. Cases that can in no wise, is that true of you? How do you know it? We know it as a doctrine. Do we know it in the experience? Can in no wise lift up herself. 18 long years. For good reason. To teach us just how incurable that spirit of infirmity actually is in our life. You say it has been such a long time. How long? What has it come to? Because we say to the Lord, Lord, it is time for thee to work. And then the Lord says, not yet. Why not? Not yet. Incurable. Because the Lord cannot get his honor in any other way until we can in no wise lift up ourselves. Otherwise, we are thieves. And we will take away that honor from the Lord. And we will help the Lord along. Oh, the Lord, he is a surprising God. He is delivering his people when they least expect it, when they truly believe that it is hopeless. And when the supplications have ceased, when they no longer think that it is possible to be delivered, and then the Lord is coming. In one moment, congregation, is it not worth 18 years to be so bowed down over this earth, or 20 years? 30, 40, 100 years even. I remember when I was maybe 25 years old and I was driving in the car home from church. Young people, my three brothers, they were with me in the car. And we had gone to church and we were coming home again. And I had heard it in church, but it never hit me until that moment that we were just quiet. And then my brother, he just made one remark. He said, the Lord, the minister said that it was 20 years between Bethel and Peniel. And then I thought, 20 years. How can I wait for 20 years? Bowed over, young people, congregation, it is necessary. It is necessary, not because of the Lord, but it is necessary because of ourselves. Do not despise, young people. We live in times when the devil, he goes about not only as a roaring lion, but also as an angel of light. Do not despise that true church of God. When you hear them in all their complaints, remember, it is not that they want it to be that way. You say, why do they complain? It is because they cannot change it. They cannot change it. They can in no wise lift up themselves. And if they can change it, then it is not right. This is the true church of God. They do not complain about the Lord. No, they have no complaints about the Lord. They can only complain about themselves. But soon is coming the time that they will glorify Him. That people that go over this world so bowed over that they will magnify Him, and every hypocrite that condemns that people is going to be condemned by the Lord. Oh, seek your place. Seek your place, not with that rejoicing Christendom of our day, of which in our heart we feel no jealousy, no jealousy. But seek your place among that true people of the world, of the Lord, whom the world despises, whom the Lord loves, whom the Lord will deliver, not in their time, but in His time. And if you may have your place among that people, then the day is coming that you also are going to glorify Him and that world without end. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us. And we think in a special way of our young people, because there is so much that comes against thy truth, and there is so much that seems to be so right and so joyful and so encouraging. O Lord, remember them, that they may be given to see with the eyes of Ruth in that land of Moab. In her affliction, when she may be jealous of the portion of an afflicted Naomi, give it to our children, give it unto our youth, and do deliver us from all of our own sin and iniquity,
that we may receive eyes to look upon thee, not only for the first time, but wilt thou give us an eye to see thee again, who art so far away. Do it, Lord, for thy name's sake. Forgive our many sins. Bring safely to our places. Help us in the week to come. Be with us as a consistory. Give us wisdom in all decisions that must be made. And wilt thou give meditation upon thy word of truth. For Jesus' sake, amen. 284, stanzas 1 and 2. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless his holy name. Bless thou the Lord, forget not all his mercies, his pardoning grace and saving love proclaim. 1 and 2 of Psalter 284.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.